Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch. This is episode 88 of our series looking back at the X-Files as we approach season 11. And today we're covering The Gift and Medusa. I'm your host, Carl Sweeney, and I'm joined once again, by Baz Greenland. Hiya, Baz.
Hiya, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Yes, no, I always a pleasure to talk with the X-Files, and particularly this season, I think we're both season 8 fans, so it's always good to talk about this one.
So the first episode we're going to talk about is The Gift, which was broadcast for the first time in February 2001, as was Medusa. The Gift is the 11th episode of the 8th season. It was written by Frank Spotnitz and directed by Kim Manners. And this is the episode which sees Skinner and Doggett investigate a case Mulder was working on before his disappearance, which involves a monster known as a Soul Eater. It's probably worth pointing out that I think this one was advertised, you know, David Duchovny's return was quite prominent in the advertising, I think. You know, Mulder's back. And of course, it's factually true. He is back on screen, but it's flashbacks and like in Doggett's vision at the very end of the episode in the office. So, yeah, it's the first time we've seen Mulder since Without.
Yeah, it's a shapeshifter impersonating that one, isn't it? So, yeah, this is his first actual Mulder appearance of the series, really.
So what do you think about this episode then, Baz? Do you like it?
I do. I think The Gift's a really good, strong episode. It's really dark. It's quite disgusting. I mean, we'll talk about that more about what the creature does as well. But it's good. It's a really good episode for Doggett as well. Though it's kind of a shame that Scully's not there, I like that it, like Via Negativa, which we also discussed, it kind of explores Doggett and Skinner as a kind of pair as well, which is quite interesting. And it's a really good episode for Doggett. And also, yeah, it's nice to see Mulder back as well. And kind of, even though it's in that flashback sense, it's a nice tease because it's obviously he'll appear again in a couple of episodes' time, again as a flashback, and then after that he turns up and then obviously dies. Yeah, it's a way to start reintroducing Mulder into the show, but also, you know, it continues to be a good series for Doggett as well, and it's another strong episode for him, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode too. I think it's a good one. So let's look at some of those things you mentioned there. So no Scully, except for in like there's a flashback at the very beginning of the episode when Doggett's driving. You see her in footage from a previous episode.
Yeah.
But this is another one of those episodes that doesn't really feature Gillian Anderson because she'd agreed that she'd get more time off during season 8. But what it means is we get the Doggett-Skinner pairing again, like you said. And yeah, I just think those two actors, I think both of them, Robert Patrick and Mitch Pileggi, I think they're both excellent actors. And they're both excellent actors when they're paired with each other, I think. They've really got a good chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah, very serious, of course. You know, there's no banter between them at all, is there? But I think that's the whole thing of late season 8. It does kind of go back to the darker, more serious roots of the early shows as well. Another reason why I like it, actually. I think I love season 6 with all the humour, but then I think by season 7 it goes a bit tired and a bit too light, I think. So that's one thing I like about season 8 is that it kind of goes back to almost the beginning, the origins of what the X-Files was like, actually. And I think, it is, and this is a particularly dark episode, I think, as well. One of a number of dark episodes of the season, but it's quite serious as well. There's not much humour in this one.
No, the only moment I can remember off the top of my head is, I think Langley calls Doggett Agent Dogbert, doesn't he? And that's about the most lighthearted moment of the episode. Mm. One thing I was going to mention is, what do you think about the issue generally in season 8 of Mulder's brain disease? Because obviously we find out, or you know, it's revealed that during season 7 he was becoming progressively more ill. We discover that in Within and Without. And I quite like the idea of Mulder having a secret from Scully, but I'm not sure this is the one, you know, I'm not sure this is the best way to do it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm like that. I mean, I think season 8 narrative is very, very strong. I think there's one mistake they made, and it's this whole retroactive mold of brain. I know they established the idea previously with some abductees, but it was not a single hint. You go back and watch season 7, there's never a single hint of Mulder knowing he's going to die. I think it does come out of nowhere. I think it's probably the weak element of season 8 in the sense that they try and have his additional mystery, which I don't think was needed. I think there's enough mystery in Mulder's disappearance anyway. I guess what this episode tries to do is kind of readdress it. It kind of brings the hunt for Mulder back to the fore. I think almost like they start searching for Mulder, then he's gone, and then it's Doggett and Scully investigating the X-Files, which are great, and I really enjoy them. But it does kind of this is an episode that kind of starts to get things back on track in terms of the season 8 narrative. So I guess, you know, when you're doing that, you've got a, you know, flashback is a great way of doing it. And it's also, it's a way to tackle the Mulder dying of this kind of brain tumour. I think the way you do it is very, very well. I think the way they kind of tack the story on doesn't work, but actually the way they then take that kind of slightly naff idea of him dying and follow it through in this episode is really strong in terms of the way they approach the monster as well.
I think my biggest issue with it, I think this episode's quite a valiant attempt to address it at least, but when you get further on, when you get to three words, it's just kind of swept under the rug.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, it's all gone. You're, it's a miracle. You're back to full health again. Yeah, it's kind of very much like, oh, it's fine. We kind of maybe made a slight narrative mistake there. Let's just brush it under the carpet. And I guess the way they do it is basically he's been resurrected, so it's all gone. But, yeah, it is. This one addresses it in quite a decent way, and then they kind of go, ah, that didn't work, did it? So let's just kind of brush it under the carpet.
Just one thing I was going to point out. There are quite a few changes to episode placement based on the production order in season 8. So this one was filmed after Permanum, but broadcast before it. So Permanum features the Cogni as well, but this comes first, the way viewers experience it.
Yeah, well, I think that works, absolutely. I think Permanum is quite a good one to kickstart that kind of, was like a four-part narrative, isn't it, with Mulder's kind of turn and resurrection again, so...
I think they were working to quite a strict timetable with when they had David Duchovny available, so it meant they had to do a bit of forward thinking about when they would film stuff. I think they very much, you know, anticipated that the order would change from when, you know, the order they filmed them. I like the way this episode starts with Doggett. I think you get the impression it's his weekend off or something, and he's, you know, he's clocking up the miles trying to find out what Mulder was up to. I know some fans think that we were kind of force-fed how brilliant Doggett was in this season, but I really like, you know, all the stuff about him. He's read all the files.
Yeah, I love that.
He puts in the hours. I think I like that aspect of his character.
I'm a huge Doggett fan. I think you do it really well. It's the point when it's almost like when you get a new Doctor in Doctor Who. You kind of if they're good enough, you kind of almost go, you almost forget about the previous one, and you don't forget about Mulder. But I think Doggett made such a good impression that you kind of go, oh, that's fine. I'm happy with this. You know, I'm also quite happy with the Doggett and Scully show now, knowing Mulder might return in the future. But I think he does a really good job. You know, he does the legwork. He reads the X-Files. You know, it's things like when he encounters a black hole later or he encounters Krycek. He kind of knows what they are, who they are, because he's obviously read the files. You kind of imagine if the Smoker Man had turned up, he'd know exactly who he is and what he was up to because he's read the X-Files. And it does, you know, it's really good. It does show that he might not think much of the X-Files, something to start with, but, you know, it's a job he's got to do and he's committed. And that's what's so great about him.
What do you think then about this, the Soul Eater, like the monster here, and like the case in general?
It's a pretty disgusting monster.
Yeah.
I always think the Fluke Man from season 2 is probably the most disgusting creature they did. But I think in some ways this one comes close. It's not, I'd say it's not as visually interesting as the Fluke Man. I think Fluke Man, maybe it's white, stands out. This is all it's very, very dark, this episode. So it's almost like bathed in shadow. But the idea of devouring someone alive and literally vomiting them up is just one of the most disgusting, repulsive things I think the show had ever done. And you know that scene when he starts to chomp his way through the terminal wife, you know, he elongates his jaw. It's nasty. It's nasty stuff. But and then when you see her being vomited back up, but it's a great monster. It's one of those episodes that explains it very well. It's a tragic monster. It's not out there just to hunt and kill. It's actually saving people, and I think that's what's so great about it. And it also reaffirms Mulder's character as well. As you know, Mulder was there. Mulder tried to kill the creature, put it over suffering, rather than use the monster to save himself. So you know, it's quite a noble thing. So again, it reestablishes the ability of Mulder. But it's also good, you know, and again, it's quite tragic in the way that it basically takes on Doggett's bullets by eating him and killing him and then taking the bullets that were intended for Doggett. So it's it's quite a tragic character too.
Is it too much, the fact that Doggett is basically, you know, has this kind of weird rebirth?
I think, compared to Mulder and Scully, yes. I think in the course of two seasons, Doggett pretty much goes through not far off what they go. He basically, he's killed, he's resurrected, he's shot, He hunts for his missing son, murder. He gets the mystery of that solved. There's a lot going on with Dogger. I think, I mean, he's a bit more wasted in season 9. I think this is much stronger. But yeah, it's almost like a rite of passage, isn't it? You know, he goes through various stages. You know, he gets involved in the X-Files and finds a kind of bat creature. You know, he's a really kind of crazy out there theories. You know, this episode he gets killed and resurrected, which basically happens to Modern Scully several times. Later on, he gets to meet Christ, he's going to punch him in the face. That's a really good sell. It's great. He goes for all these kind of rituals, but he does it in a much more short space of time. So in some ways, he does feel a little bit rushed, but I say it's almost like his initiation to the X-Files. If you're not killed and resurrected, then you're not part of the X-Files. So I think it kind of works in that sense too.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, I love the way Robert Patrick plays the scene where he's kind of staring at his computer and he's got no idea where to start with his report. I think he plays that really well. Okay, let's move on to Medusa. Medusa is the 12th episode of Season 8, written by Frank Spotnitz again, and directed by Richard Compton. This is the episode in which Doggett and Scully investigate a series of deaths in the Boston subway system. Okay then, Baz, what do you make of this one?
I'm quite a fan of this one. I think this one doesn't have... I mean, episodes like The Gift tend to be fairly well received. I think this one's a bit more of a throwaway one. I think people don't tend to rate this one as highly, but I've always really enjoyed this episode. It's a really good episode to show the dynamic between Doggett and Scully as well, and it is their last proper X-File before the alien stuff comes back into it and Mulder returns. So it's nice to see them just kind of hunting what's possibly a creature or some kind of virus, you know, in the subway of Boston. And it's kind of very atmospheric too. So it's not brilliant. And I think it's a very strong cast, but some of them are wasted, definitely. But there's some really good stuff there. And it does really, I think, more than anything else, it shows how well Doggett and Scully were working at a team at this point.
I think I pretty much agree with that. I quite like this episode. It does feel like an episode to me which is maybe, you know, a good draft or two away from being a really good episode.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it just feels like it's not fully formed or something. I'm not sure. I think I like it on paper more than I do in actuality. So, like, you've got, like, again, Robert Patrick's giving this very sweaty, committed performance.
Mm.
But I don't really feel that tense during any of those scenes.
No, I think that's it. It's the tension that's missing, I think, from this episode.
Yeah, I think so too. But I like, you know, Scully in the control room is interesting. That subway set, apparently they had quite a big budget on this episode because they constructed that set. And I guess it's quite impressive. But I read something somewhere where somebody was saying, you know, it must be the cleanest subway in the world.
Yeah. I think they make a throwaway line that it's been built, you know, open in the last 2 or 3 years. They've kind of redesigned it, so you kind of get away there. But yeah, you're right. It's so clean. There's not a rat in sight anywhere, is there?
Yeah, but just something about it. I don't know. Something about those scenes in the tunnel. Maybe if it had been in the hands of a stronger director or something, those scenes might have had a bit more, you know, suspense. Tension.
Yeah, it lacks atmosphere, I think, I do enjoy the episode, but it's not. It has the markings of being a really classic episode, and maybe because it's a little bit of a rehash of things like Darkness Falls and stuff, with this kind of green glowing parasitic kind of thing, you know, threat. I guess it's not. It's actually a kind of a sea creature, isn't it, in the end? But I think that's it. I think you've got some great moments, like the discovery of the dead detective on the train in the opening. It's just nasty, you know. And later on when you you know, you see what happens to a couple of them when their skin's kind of burnt off as they react with the creatures. And, you know, there's some nasty moments in, but they're not. I almost think they could have gone further. I think it's a little bit too clean, a little bit too glossy, and just it needs atmosphere to really kind of maybe spiders ever in unused parts of the software. I don't know, but yeah, it just kind of doesn't quite have that. It doesn't go full on horror like I think it could do.
I mean, the monster, I don't think, as it appears here, is as compelling as it perhaps could have been. That felt a little underdeveloped, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
And also I can't remember the character name, but like the authority figure, the guy who wants to keep the subway open. He was very kind of one note, I thought.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Ken Jenkins, he's basically, I mean, he was deputy chief Carroll, isn't he? He's trying to get the train, he's running by 4 o'clock. I think he's basically playing Kelso from Scrubs again. I loved Kelso from Scrubs, but he does kind of villainous quite well. But I think at the same time, there's a whole thing, you know, I'm going to get the train to Ryan by four. And I think, really, you know, you've possibly got this massive contagion. And yes, Scully is doing her best to stand up to him. And he's like, he doesn't really go out and say it, but he's saying, yes, little lady, whatever you say, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But it's kind of, yeah, he's a very much, it's all a bit false, isn't it? You know, I must get the train to Ryan on time. And, you know, and it's, you are, again, there's that, there's not enough depth. I think that's the problem with all the characters. There's not enough depth to them. And it's a shame because they had a great cast. You've got like Penny, Josh and Gerald, who, you know, from DS9 and 24. She's a great one. She can play some fantastic characters. But her CDC character is just a bit naff. She's a little bit wet as a character. And knowing how good the actress can be, it's a little bit of a shame. Again, like Ken Jenkins, they can create very compelling performances. I've seen it in other shows they've done. But this is just, again, the script is all a little bit kind of wishy-washy at times.
Yeah, because when I saw Penny Johnson-Gerald, I mean, in 24, when she was given the chance, she could really kind of ham it up, you know, and be a very lively on-screen presence. But here, she doesn't get much to do. The guy who wanted to keep the trains running, Ken Jenkins, I'm sure there are earlier examples. It just reminds me of, like, the mayor in Jaws. And here, it's just kind of, you know, it's the old cliche. Frank Spotnitz wrote this, and he was actually quite hard on it. He named this somewhere as his least favourite of his own episodes. And the reason was, he said, the concept just wasn't clear or compelling enough to sustain the hour. And I can see what he means, because, like, actually that final Doggett-Scully scene in the hospital is actually quite long, you know, and you almost feel like the action has kind of ended a bit early.
It's all missing. It's missing a bit more tension, a bit more atmosphere, a bit more probably nastiness to it, which is a shame because actually, you know, we talked about The Gift being quite dark and nasty. You know, you've got episodes like Roadrunners and The Gift and so on. There's a lot of quite dark, quite nasty, very atmospheric episodes. Patience, you know, he's got a giant man-bat creature thing, which is a little bit ridiculous, but it's just tons of atmosphere, which make it really fun. And you think, you know, when you've got that kind of continuous sense of, you know, going back to the early series and the darkness of it all, when you actually get one in the tunnels with kind of creatures that can burn the flesh of you, that sounds amazing. And yet it's kind of, and that's probably why it's disappointing, because it doesn't quite have the atmosphere that it should have done.
Yeah, this should have been a terrifying episode, really, judging just by the concept alone. That's not the way it worked out. I imagine it's one of those things where if they'd have really had the time to, you know, work on the script a bit more, really sort of refine the concept they were dealing with, you know, it could have been a great episode, as was. It's a good episode. I think it kind of feels a little bit like filler, but I think it does the job pretty well. Okay. Tomorrow's episodes on the X-Cast, X-Files Podwatch are Permanum and This Is Not Happening. In the meantime, find us on Twitter at the X_Cast. Find us on Facebook. If you type in X-Cast, you should find X-Files Basement, the X-Cast podcast fan group. Until next time, though, listeners, trust no one.